Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey, now everybody, welcome to episode 329 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm going to send you over to former JTP member, Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
JTP.
JTP.
Goldberg's. If you don't watch the Goldbergs, I don't know how you listen to this podcast, because we basically talk about all the shit.
Just did their 100th episode, so.
Did they really? Okay, they'll be going into syndication.
Yeah.
Good. Well, because JTP founding member Barry Goldberg is 24 in real life, so I think he's getting a little long in the tooth. That show's going to run off the rails when the young kids are looking too old anyways. The same problem Gotham's having at this point. But hey, we are getting off topic. Tonight, we will be, as our topic, we'll be talking mostly horror, because this is being recorded as we go into Halloween, October 31st, 2017. We're talking about three horror films, two in circulation right now in the theaters. That's Jigsaw, Happy Death Day, and Cult of Chucky, available on Netflix, and our thoughts on four upcoming trailers for new releases in the next quarter. But first, let's do a little bit of trivia. And I have some Halloween horror type trivia for you.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Always.
Did I get it?
That's always the answer.
Did I get it? Activia. Yeah, I know.
Activia. She is doing those commercials now.
She's still doing those. She's Activia lady. Yeah. Of course. The scariest role she's got.
Okay, so Nate, this is a double parter. A horror director who came to prominence in the late 70s and mid 80s, directed a superhero film for DC Comics. Name the film and the director. It came out in the 80s.
The superhero movie came out in the 80s. You're saying?
Yep.
I don't know. For DC?
I mean, it's a DC Comics character, comic book, superhero from the comic book era.
And this is the director I know.
This is the director you know, yeah, for sure. I always forget it's in his canon, too. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre choice.
Yeah, I don't know. What is
it? It's Wes Craven in Swamp Thing.
Oh, shit. I always forget Swamp Thing is a comic book character in DC. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good one, because you don't remember that. I'm sure people do, but I don't.
Yeah, 1982. Little great movie. And the sequel's fun too, The Return of Swamp Thing, which is more of a B movie in all terms of it, and doesn't have nearly the ambition, because the original Swamp Thing is kind of an homage to Bride of Frankenstein and some things like that. And the second one is just a fun B movie. But yeah, check that out. I think it's only available through bootlegs and maybe online. I don't think you can even find that on Blu-ray at the moment. Might be some.
Seems like something you'd be able to find on Blu-ray now.
Copyright type issues, possibly. Anyways, it was right before he did Craven. This is did Nightmare on Elm Street and got really famous. So I always forget this is in his canon, but it's the film between Last House on the Left and Nightmare. All right, let's talk about some films that are in wide release. You and I have been to the movies. Let's talk Jigsaw first. This is the number one film in the country right now. 16 million box office weekend. They called, the last Saw movie was the final chapter. At least they had the balls not to call this the new beginning like they did the Friday the 13th series.
No, they had a new name, Jigsaw. It's a nice thing. And this one's definitely a puzzle piece type movie, right? Definitely has the twists and turns. But you got to admit, this does not live up to the trailer, does it?
Well, are you recommending it or are you not recommending it?
What do you think? It's all right. It's not. It didn't hurt me to watch it, but it certainly isn't the movie I was hoping to see after watching that really great trailer.
Yeah, I thought this was just dreadful. I thought it was dull. I thought it lacked the impact of any of the previous ones.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Even the kills were lame. The characters weren't interesting, and I know it's strange to say that in a Saw movie, but the other ones, at least the characters were somewhat sympathetic. And this really was just, and the filmmakers here are better filmmakers, you'd think, than the guys that have previously helmed some of these Saw movies, but they just seemed, it's almost too glossy. I missed that kind of grittiness of that low budget. The Darren Lynn Boysman ones, part two and three, have really set the template for all these ones that followed. outside of that first one. And go back and watch part two, which I think is the high point of the series. This one, I think, is just another tacked on. You know, even the kills here aren't very interesting. No, I just thought it was so routine. We just went through his paces, and I couldn't give a shit about it at all. It's short. Thankfully short. Really short.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. It didn't hurt me. It didn't really necessarily bother me because I'm prepared to watch a Saw movie, and you know, most of them are about this level, especially towards the end there. But it does, I don't know, it has decent twists and turns, and I thought at towards the end.
Didn't you feel let down, though, with the level that these guys have previously worked on with Daybreakers and Predestination?
Watch the trailer and then look at this movie, right? It's not, it's nowhere near the same. It's not, it's just not catching at all in any way, right? Even the police work that's done in this is really drab and just kind of random, and it just so happens, you know, that they're able to, like, their witness or their main suspects are working alongside them. It's like, holy shit, guys. I mean, talk about not having to do any detective work.
And I'm getting so tired of the John Kramer is alive, is not alive, is somebody else's fault that he's in this position. And then all this stuff.
That was decent, really, though. I thought that was kind of neat, the way they did it.
It's a cheat because you can't figure out with anything they've given you on screen what's going on. No, it's all meant for that.
But that's fine.
Reveal.
I mean, you usually, even when, as they do the reveals throughout the movie, you think that you know, oh, you think this, then you're like, what, huh? And then this and that. It's not, that's not bad. I would say that everything else is a huge letdown. And I think, again, just they gave away too much in the trailer. You know, I've seen pretty much everything. And what wasn't in the trailer, you know, that the new Jigsaw contraption that they have in this is fucking stupid.
All the kills are, I mean, even at the base level of what these movies are about, which is the torture porn. I thought when I'm going into this, I thought, man, this is really, we're going back to like the torture porn era. It's nowhere near as intense as any of those films.
No, you have to admit when they go into, and the girl has all the Jigsaw, you know, traps and that she's collecting and things. I'd rather see some of that old stuff attached to someone than this new stuff, which is just, but maybe, I mean, maybe it makes sense that they're not quite as good because I don't want to ruin it, but you know,
this whole movie is a softened version of the ones that are the high points of the series, which is the second and the third one, as far as
well,
I thought.
Well, so are the other ones, but it's definitely set up for sequels. So that's, I wonder if they will try to turn this into something more. Do you think?
Jigsaw 2? It's done. It's old hat. At this point, it's been done. They can't. There's nowhere else to go.
They may
try
to do more. Well, it doesn't matter. They're going to keep trying until they don't make money, right?
That's my question here. Because this is set up one movie in the year or of the week.
Oh God, don't say that. Yeah,
no way.
That would be terrible.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the other horror film that's in the marketplace right now, which is not really a horror film. Happy Death Day.
Kind of is. I mean, it is and it isn't.
Horror themed, but...
Yeah. Well, it's PG-13 and it's a soft PG-13. At least this movie knows what it is and doesn't really waver from that, like, unlike Saw, which kind of wanted to know, but couldn't know if it was a comedy or a horror some of the times. And this at least knows that it's just pure fun and campiness.
Campy is a good word for this. You know, I actually was really kind of negative on this movie. Mm-hmm. And after watching Jigsaw, it softened up on this one. I kind of appreciated this.
It is
a little
what it
bit
is.
More.
I mean, I
it's cleverness. It's a spoof mm-hmm. on slasher films in the 1980s, particularly the teenage horror part, slasher film.
I mean,
The thing I found kind of interesting in this movie, though, to see if you felt this too, is that typically it's a, you know, the virginal heroine who be like the main character who gets through the movie in the 1980s mm-hmm. versions that we all know.
The final
this
girl.
Time,
sure.
This time she is promiscuous and bitchy and not a nice person overall, and she becomes virtuous.
That's part of the Groundhog's Day aspect,
humble,
though, right?
Yeah, you know, but I like that they did that. You know, she kind of
promiscuous
the whole thing.
Yeah, but they did a really good job. I mean, there's a lot of detail in this movie that I noticed when I watched it, and specifically what you're talking about, the way they shot her, the way they did her makeup in the beginning of the movie, is totally different than at the end of the movie. She's much softer, easier to look at when she's supposed to be likable, and they harden her up. They put a lot of black eyeliner and things on her when she's supposed to be not so liked, you know, and that's throughout this entire movie. So I do like a lot that this movie brought to the table. It's just,
it's not a very good movie, though.
It's just, it's an okay movie, but I don't know.
Oh,
that,
come on.
I don't
you know
how...
the killer immediately. Everybody can. I mean, come on, you spotted the killer within the first 20 minutes, right?
No. And I don't even know how you would know.
From law of deduction, from character deduction, of who dropped out of the story for the longest amount of time.
Well, that's true. I mean, I did figure it out before they said, but I don't know about, well, 20 minutes, only an hour and a half.
It's a short movie, once again, but also my problem with this movie was kind of the cavalier attitude it had towards her being killed. I mean, it's Edge of Tomorrow, Groundhog's Day.
That's kind of why
it
doesn't. It's not really a horror movie, you know, in that sense, because it knows it wants to be all fun and not so much horror, you know. And that, with the PG-13 rating, I don't know. I kind of agree with it. It makes it, you know, one of the things about these slasher films and where they come out of, obviously they're very budget friendly, you know, 80s and 90s, 70s, when they were making these a lot, but they're also, they can be very female friendly as well, right? So they're not so scary and gross and disgusting and everything, and so you can have a date movie with something like this. So I understand what they were going for. I get it. I felt they gave away way too much in the trailer. Again, I would like to have kept some of that to you know, find out for myself. But I don't know. It was a fine movie. There's nothing wrong with it.
Like I said, it's a movie that
I've seen way worse.
I can't recommend, once again, but at the same time, I saw way worse this week with Jigsaw.
If you like horror movies, if you like horror movies, you should really watch both of these. They're not the worst thing in the world.
This is the kind of horror movie that just Disturbing Behavior was at the time. It's a minor horror film.
Exactly. These would be good for, you know,
it's a preteen home set, honestly.
Well, I don't know about Jigsaw being that, but this top. For sure, yeah. But it's fine for a home viewing, you know. I wouldn't go out to theaters to see this. Either one of these. Of course I did. I got sucked into both.
Well, we both did. And it's not truly a horror film, but it's being marketed like one. And I think that it's helped hurting a little
it
bit.
It kind of is. You know, people get killed, so. But you're right. They've done this already on TV. They had that. That show that was kind of like a Scream type show, Scream Queens,
Scream Queens,
I think is what it's called. And it's very similar to this. You know, I get it. It's just soft is all it is.
Let's move on and talk about Cult of Chucky, which is what, the fifth movie in the series, the 6th movie
right?
the series. And you know, this is a straight to DVD Universal Home Entertainment, directed by Don Mancini. Don Mancini. Don Mancini can get you anything you need, though. He gets you a rug, a TV, you go see him. But Don Mancini does the Child Play movies. And he did this one again, wrote and directed this. I think this one is the best one since Bride of Chucky back in 1998. I had a lot of fun with this one, although I wish that Andy was in it a little bit more and it didn't focus so much on the Nika character. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I actually kind of like this.
Yeah,
I thought it was well shot, well acted. I don't know. Is this I mean, the Nika character is played by Fiona Dourif, who's fantastic.
The daughter of Brad Dourif, obviously, who voices
who does Chucky. But she's absolutely mesmerizing in Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. If you ever get a chance to watch that, she's fantastic in that. And again, I thought she was really good in this. It was almost like the actors in this were above their pay grade, you know. And I think pretty much all of them, they all did a great job. And it was shot nicely. I don't know. It's a nice little. It's Chucky, right? And Chucky's turned into a joke into and of itself, right?
Well, after the first three, right? The first three were somewhat serious, and then Bride of Chucky,
yeah,
with Jennifer Tilly. Set the template for the ones that would all follow, which were more comedy horror than anything truly gruesome.
And that's
the first
what this
three
is.
Were kind of way more sinister in a way. And I like that all the homages to all the previous incarnations and movies. And I love that line when the doctor tells the patient that he bought the doll at Hot Topic, and the Kent State Military Academy from Part 3 that's on the wall. And the movie does a good job of playing with the realities of its story. Like, is Andy crazy? I mean, are they all crazy? Which was a central theme in the original, too, when he was a little boy and no one believed him. Because it's always no one believes somebody that Chucky is running around doing this shit. Well, by now, obviously, everyone should fucking believe people. But this one was...
But they all get killed, so...
This movie, though, it was also an homage to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which Brad Dourif was in. And I was expecting when it started, I'm like, is this going to be a horror version of Ted where Andy and Chucky are kicking it? You know? But which I would like to see that version of that movie, too. So if you're out there.
I don't know. I don't know that Chucky could ever kick it for very long with people, right?
He had the head he was smoking out, right?
Yeah. Well, that would be the only way, though, right? If he couldn't possibly kill you. I mean, otherwise he kills, right? There's just no rhyme or reason. He doesn't care,
right? That was like the homage to T2, right? Because the girl's in the mental hospital, that thing's locked up. I was like, oh, it's like the Terminator hand at Cyberdyne. But a fun little movie, and really I think the most enjoyable out of the ones that we're talking about this week so far.
I would say so as well. Check it out. Streaming on Netflix, I think, right? Yeah.
And there is a limited time on that. They're just going to yank it for possibly after Halloween, so you might not even have much time to check it out. So it will be on there for a limited time, and then I'm sure it will be available on your home video service demand, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, for $15.
Exactly. You can't rent it. You can only buy it. Get this shit now.
It'll be $30, sir. Thank you.
Let's do the Trailer Addict.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Okie dokie. We're prepared.
I've been prepared, sir.
I live for Trailer Addict.
Some good trailers. Some good trailers in the show. Let's talk about A Wrinkle in Time, the long gestating, the novel turned into film.
Turned into novel, turned into stage play. No, that's not one of these.
I don't think this looks as interesting or deep or exciting as it thinks it is. I have no interest in
it. It looks like every other fantasy teen book turned into a movie. So I say I don't see anything special in this. This may as well have been another Narnia movie. I have no idea.
Or Chronicles of Spiderwick, or one of these. I mean, countless things. Golden Compass.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Riddick there for a second.
I would welcome another one of those. Sir.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
I hear things.
I don't know. We keep getting them, and I don't know.
And they never lived up to the first one, so I don't know why we keep getting them. This though looks very generic, even Tomorrowland-esque to me, where a lot is happening, visually dazzling stuff. Where at one time this was all intriguing and engaging, and now it's just off-putting to me. I don't know if it's I'm growing out of this demographic. This movie's obviously not aimed at
obviously
me.
What are you? You're almost 40. You know, it's about time you stop watching these movies meant for 8-year-old girls.
I would agree, sir. At least I watch them at home, and I'm not in a theater full of 8-year-old girls. I won't go see My Little Pony in a theater, sir.
Yeah, but that was probably just full of, 30, 40-year-old guys, so you'd probably be safe seeing that.
All right, let's move on and talk about Winchester, the haunted house movie here. What's this called? Winchester? I mean, I know
the house the ghosts built.
Okay, well, I mean, it's this
that's
is a
amazing.
Famous random house that has all that's seven stories tall, like 500 rooms. I mean, you've been to this place? I've been to it,
well,
obviously.
Well, it's not that tall anymore. I think it's only 2 stories, right? 3 stories, maybe. It used to be tall, but then it burnt down a long time ago. It's a crazy house, right? I mean, the lady was nutsos, to say the least. But so it's a house with stairs that go nowhere, doorways that open to, just the wall, rooms without doors, right? All kinds of shit in there. She just had people building and building on it. And as the story goes, some people say it was to confuse the ghosts and the spirits. Other people say it was because she was lonely and she just wanted people around.
It was also, she thought, like, living longer, she thought, with by continuing to do this kind of stuff. I've heard all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But I've been there. It's peculiar.
It's weird, right?
There is a strange vibe there. I'm not into like getting into the whole thing, but it wouldn't surprise me if some stuff went down over there, especially in that age. And she was also involved with the Winchester, who was involved with some pretty shady things, and how many, the guns, the whole nine there. So this movie though looks interesting, and I can't believe they got Helen Mirren to do this. It's also from the directors that just did Saw.
Directors, and you got to admit that I don't have a lot of faith in this movie in general, because it kind of reminds me of 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
And that kind of fare. It seems like these spirit guys are, and really they have been before, doing kind of minor genre movies, you know?
I wonder if they did Saw so they could get this movie made, though. If this was really their passion and they wanted to do this one, and they were, because it is a Lionsgate release. I wonder if they said, you got to do this one to do that one. And I wonder if this is going to be if it's an exchange type situation. It's also Jason Clarke's in this, and it's the first time he's ever seemed interesting to me on screen. I usually can't stand this guy. He torpedoed the Terminator Genesis and a couple other movies. I never liked this guy. He always looks hammered on screen to me. It's like, does this guy come from a hangover every fucking night? But in this, he looks appropriately in
hammered
costume. I guess it's more period, you know. He doesn't look futuristic to me.
He does look like he's on his period, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll wind up seeing this for sure, but I'm going to keep my hopes low at this point from what I've seen already. I don't know. I mean, these guys are pretty good with twists and stuff. I don't know if they're necessarily good with them, but they're good with having them. Their movies always have weird twists and things in it, right?
I like these Victorian type movies too.
Yeah. So what would the twist be on this though? Necessarily, I wonder. I don't know what it could be. So it's intriguing. Or maybe there is no. Maybe this will be the one with no twist.
It had to be at least a good script to get Helen Mirren's attention at this point.
Right.
All right, sure. Let's move on. Let's talk about 12 Strong, the declassified tale of the horse soldiers, it's fully titled here. And this is a real-life Rambo 3, right?
I really want to see this. I don't know. I think this looks awesome. I haven't seen a good war movie in a while, and this looks great. And I totally agree with you. This is definitely Rambo returning to Afghanistan.
I think this looks terrible. I think these are really so fucking dated. I don't know what it is. I think
this looks great.
I think war movies are as dated today as Westerns were in the 80s. I just feel like they're so... There's no place for them. I just feel like they just...
There's no place for something.
I don't think they find audiences anymore.
Well, that may be true, but I don't really give a shit about anybody else. I'm interested in going to the movies for me, and I think this looks fantastic. I like war movies. You yourself have championed many a war movie in the past 5 years or so. So I don't know. Why? What about this exactly? Is it the horses? Do you not like horses?
It's generic. Just the whole thing looks so...
It is
so
generic, but...
It just looks too...
Everything
too much
is
of the
like
same.
That right now. Everything is like that because everything's been watered down, right? Everything's like converged on itself at this point. We're just going to get more of the same. I don't know.
I'm also not a fan of... We got to stop using a song that's slowed down and covered... Quietly,
they will never.
They did that in this trailer. They did it in a Wrinkle in Time trailer. Stop doing
this. Oh, yes, of course. I mean, they had the bass day crescendos in this, too. They pull out all the stops, you know. I don't know. Yeah. Trailers cutting is pretty standard, right?
It's just gotten...
This is just the way they're cut now at this point. They just shit them out. And it has nothing to do with the movie. Probably not even a good representation of the movie most of the time.
That's a bad trailer for it, is all I'm saying.
It was a fine trailer. I actually liked it. I think the movie's going to be good.
Now let's talk about Den of Thieves, which is basically a lowbrow...
This is a shitty trailer.
B-movie version of Heat, looks like.
Kind of, with the cops
and robbers going against each other. A group of Rampart Division-type cops are going after this den of thieves who are planning on robbing Fort Knox, and all sorts of line crossing ensues. for what it is, this to me looks like an early January shitty action yes. movie along the lines of Sleepless and Takers and things like that. And for what yep. that is, an armored.
I'm surprised Wahlberg's not in this.
I'm sure it was offered to him, but hey, Butler's making that career of taking his leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch this. I personally don't have a problem with this. I like that it's shitty because it just, that's what it looks like, is a shitty like action movie. I'm great with that. But it does look not very good.
Gerard Butler himself looks like he's got some liver enzyme issues going on. He looks a little swollen in this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's looking his age for sure. So I don't know.
Well, and Russell Crowe on me here.
I do really like him. I do like 50 Cent as well. So, you know, I'm okay with watching this.
Yeah, I mean, for them, to me, when I was watching this trailer, I was like, oh, they're making him 50 Cent, you know, forsakenly saying this, is like the De Niro of the story, and Butler is like the Pacino of the story.
Yeah, I imagine. They didn't have in this trailer any sort of a crossover, though. Do you think some of the voiceover we were hearing from Butler especially was actually in the movie being said to 50 Cent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's that scene or a version of that scene in here. It's, you know, in a strip
club.
That's
what it sounded like. They didn't show it, which was weird.
But the trailer is interesting and sell. It looks like, you know, it's good of its kind. So I'm interested to see it.
What are you going to do with it? You know, you're going to watch it.
Well, let's wrap up today's show. And I want to go back and recap here. Trevor and I are both not recommending Jigsaw. We both gave a moderate okay, not really on the fence recommendation.
I recommend
for you,
them both.
Yeah. For Happy Day. Are you recommending them both? You recommending Jigsaw?
Sure. If you're a fan of Saw or a fan of horror, you're going to have to watch these. It's not that bad. I don't know. I just think
go back, you'd be better off going back and watching one of the earlier ones. They were more intense and they were better.
That may be true, but you're going to want to watch something new at some point, right?
But I don't know, it's okay.
It's okay.
It doesn't add
Listen,
anything new.
I've seen all the Riddick movies. I think I can say you might as well see all the Saw movies.
I would say this is a better punishment. Having to go back and watch one Saw movie and then one Fast and Furious movie. One Saw movie,
Jesus.
One Fast and Furious.
I tell you, movies I can no longer recommend.
Exactly.
Those actually physically hurt.
However, we both do agree that Cult of Chucky is on the better end of this kind of stuff and is worth a watch. Mm-hmm. Both agree on that one there. And we want to thank you all for joining us for episode 329 as usual. Thank you guys for your continued listenership on a worldwide basis. Everyone out there on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you may be getting this, continue to check out MovieMavericks.com for the latest reviews and check back regularly for new updates on the podcast. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I am Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!